Welcome to A World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tatman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places.
Like a coffee shop in an airport terminal.
Or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good.
Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Nate Tatman, and I am in beautiful Interlaken, Switzerland. And we are here right now for the Three Worlds Leadership Network, 3WLN, which is an opportunity to bring young leaders around from Europe and the Middle East to this location for this week for a conference. And we've had a great time here, able to connect, meet new people, meet new friends, and to be encouraged and challenged and to hear what God is doing. And maybe as you can hear, unless our producer is able to work his magic, we are sitting outside. And so we have crows for whatever reason. I don't think I've heard crows at all this week.
Like a backstage, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know why they decided to come out right now. The other sound you might hear are the cowbells in the background. We've grown accustomed to them through this week. It's just like maybe traffic in Cairo, or if you're on the beach and the sound of waves, or next to a train stop. But we just hear the cowbells and it's become second nature to us. But you might hear them in the background. I'm here with Alina and Valentina, my friends from Ukraine. I wanted just to spend some time with them to hear what the current circumstances are in their local context. They're in two different cities in Ukraine. And then as they look ahead to the winter months, especially what they are doing to help prepare for what's coming up next, and then how we as the church in the United States might be able to continue to come alongside of them and support and encourage. And so, Alina, Valentina, thank you for joining me. Maybe just take some time to introduce yourselves. Who are you? Where are you from? And share about your local context right now.
Sure. Thank you for inviting us. And we are really enjoying being at this conference. So this is what I would like to start with. My name is Alina. I'm from Ukraine. I grew up in city Poltava, and then we moved to Irpin. Then we moved with the war start to Tachiv, to Ruskiy Pol. So basically, I don't know how to introduce myself. Where am I from? But just I am from Ukraine. And I am a wife of just blessed man, Zhenya, his name, and two wonderful kids. We have boys, Lion and Mark, 3 and 4 years old. So this is just a little small introduction, because beside that, I cannot tell you anything what I used to say before the war started, because the world changed differently tremendously for us, for our family. We fled from eastern part to the west. So now currently, we are basically just God's children.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, it's so such a pleasure to be here. It's like kind of like a resort for a soul in the middle of everything. Yeah, that's true. Even the cows are okay. Yes, they sound better than sirens for sure. So yeah, my name is Valentina, and I've grown up in Poltava city as well. So, and I've been to many cities in Ukraine. I studied in a different city, but I still live in Poltava. Although I'm so blessed to travel around the world, partially because of like teams like yours. This is really inspiring. I'm 28 and I'm a youth pastor. I used to be a youth pastor like for 3 years already, and like youth leader, then youth pastor. Now, as our pastor families are abroad, like in Germany, so the one guy, and I'm like the second person that we lead the church who is left, and now we have like 40 more refugees who are with us. So we kind of will have a lot of work to do, because from the youth pastoring, I need to learn how to lead the church like for a year, because we're going to have a year like that. And yeah, I have a family. My whole family is in Ukraine. I have parents, grandparents, my brother. So I decided to stay in Ukraine as Ellen. She's also here because just I think God just didn't let me out. He said, okay, you're going to stay. And I knew that. Yeah, and I've been, it's such a blessing. Yeah, like in the middle of the darkest times, it would be true to say that I've never been that blessed in my life as for the last 8 months. Well, not because of the war, of course, but because of what God has done in my life.
You guys both mentioned that you're in Ukraine right now, and it just kind of occurred to me, technically, both of you could leave Ukraine.
Yeah.
But you've chosen to stay. And maybe you will say it wasn't really a choice to stay because of different circumstances, but maybe just share why are you still in Ukraine when you could have left?
Yeah, I asked that God the same question. I remember the moment that our pastor, just a couple of weeks after war started, he told us that he will take responsibility. So when he will have this feeling that he needs to leave, he will organize the evacuation of the whole church. And if you decide to stay, regardless to what he said, it will be already your responsibility. And that moment, it was like it clicked in my heart. I already knew that, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, now, thank you. Just, I already knew that I was going to stay. Mm. And I already knew that it's going to be a very tough choice because I would need to explain it to my family as they were very worried about me. I already knew that it would be so hard inside when already all my leaders and pastors are going to leave. Mm. But I already knew that. So it just Holy Spirit just didn't give me a chance like to cry and to pray and to fast just to at least to have this normal like couple of weeks of mourning. Mm. Yeah, so it was God's choice and I actually didn't want to leave. I didn't want to, seriously. I was really scared, but I even was more scared to leave and to leave my family because my whole family would not leave. But God gave his signs and confidence and I felt his hand. So I decided to stay and later I understood why. Mm. So yeah, I didn't regret it for sure. What you want to share?
I would say everything happened so fast that we didn't have any option to think.
Yeah.
So what we did first, we just took our kids and we fled. We lived in Irpin that time when they were on the 24th of February,
and
which is right near Kyiv. Yeah, yeah. And the
so immediately your area was part of this.
In the morning that day, it was still not, but we saw the explosion right next to village, kind of a small city, right near us. So we saw all the fume coming up from there and we realized like, and already there were planes and there were tanks. And that's how like this atmosphere helped us to do what we did. And thanks God, we were right in town. Mm-hmm. We fled right after, just through Kyiv, taking three more people, just fled to west. So in that case, we didn't have kind of choice whether to stay in the city or not, because it was not safe to stay that time. It seemed to us like that. But just with the time when we were kind of safe at the West, mm-hmm. my husband and I, we have two kids. And the law in Ukraine is those men who have more than three kids are allowed to cross the border. So I knew for sure that it's not possible for him to cross.
Be able to leave, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how for me it was not even an option. Like yeah. I realized like I have no other option whether to stay. And it's kind of my decision. It's not even an option. So this was my decision to stay with kids because I could take my kids outside of the country. But then as well as like I would not have this peace leaving Zhenya here. And more than that, I have also mom and dad stayed in Poltava. My sister stayed in Kremenchuk with her family, with kids. So later on, we could minister it to them as the rockets hit their place where they live. Mm-hmm. Like it's long stories. We can share lots and lots of stories, but just it was a decision. I would say nothing supernatural, but at the same time, supernatural peace was with that alongside.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe just share a little bit about the current context in terms of what does, again, and it's all relative, right? But what does everyday life look like? I can't imagine not necessarily every day looks the same, but in general, from week to week or so, what decisions are you making? What are you concerned about? What are you doing with children? I know that you're working to receive supplies and to share supplies. You're working to receive people into your churches. Maybe just share a little bit about that, what that looks like.
Wow, it's a kind of a hard question because we do not have any routine.
Yeah.
Since 24th of February, I will speak from the perspective of my family, but I give you like 99.9% that every person in Ukraine like that.
Others are pretty much the same.
Yeah. Like you never know what happens next, so you never know how to react next and what will you do tomorrow. But just for now, the first week we just were on the way. From west to east, from east to west. Then the second week, we tried to survive with trying to find the hosting and food and just lots of people being together in one house. We are very grateful to the church who received us and to people who ministered to us that first week after the war started because we came to an unknown, almost unknown city with nothing almost and just no place to stay. So they provided that at first. And then God was good in that also, that we didn't have any time to think or to grieve as much. Mm-hmm. Like crazy things were going on, and we were kind of, it was hard to deal with the emotions because they were like roller coasters, yeah. ups and downs. But what we did at first, and we still do this, we started to help that church who helped us to work with minas, with refugees. So mm-hmm. we prepared old houses, fixed that or mm-hmm. rebuild them, not yep. rebuild, but just remodern, to be able to host more ladies with kids, come in more time. And also we helped the kitchen to buy food, to cook for the refugees, because mm-hmm. they are ministering till now daily for 120, around like 150 wow. refugees in that wow. small village. So yeah, definitely we just jumped in the process of reacting yep. to the circumstances. And since that time, we were trying to live a normal life, which was not normal anymore.
Yeah.
Like with kids, we tried to find the kindergarten, but all the kindergartens were already also receiving refugees. Like, and they said, no schools, no kindergarten will be available. So it's like find, then we were asked to leave one place we stayed. Then we have found another house of refugees for refugees. And then we also were asked to leave that house. So it's like every single day you are kind of busy, always. But it seems like with nothing specifically you used before to. And I was trying to teach as I'm teaching kids online, but just my kids were scattered all over the world. So it's like every day something new happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And here we ended up being in the Ruski Pole, which is grateful again to that church. They hosted us as a family. And now we live separately. Before there were like 18 people at least living in one house. But just now this is like four of us, at least some quiet time we can think about something. Kids could go to the kindergarten. Actually, we changed two of them. And then finally, it seems like the some kind of routine. But this is what routine we have now. Wow. The routine is about boxes, about loading the vans, just hosting.
Boxes full of supplies.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Hosting those who are bringing those supplies. Like we are very thankful to 3WLN because you guys are amazing in making our life in these tough situations a little bit easier. I mean, God is so good to us. We're hungry since the war started, but just there were some moments when, of course, we do not have works, like jobs, we are not working, but God provided. And we as a family, we are so blessed. As Vala said, like sometimes you even think like, Lord, it's not honest, it's not fair, such hard situations in the country, but we are still blessed. We're still with your care, with your people around us who are supporting, who are praying, who are coming actually. And for us, it's just miraculous to see how God uses hardships to teach us that we are not alone and we are in the family. And you can feel that physically, like whenever the hardest issues are coming. So yeah, what basically we are doing, me and my husband, we are receiving help, which is clothes mostly, but just not now, it's mostly food and hygiene stuff. Then we try to spread it or like give out in local churches, to churches we help. And then those churches, they are also ministering to lots of refugees locally and at the east. So we have people who the church has bought a vehicle and they go to Kharkiv because most of the refugees are from there. So they help the families in Kharkiv and Kharkiv Oblast and a little bit further. So just they go to the hottest spots, I would say, and then most abundant because it was really destroyed parts and places in that area. So it's like the whole process we are involved in. So basically, this is like that.
Valentina, share with us kind of your context and what, again, I'm using air quotes, but what is your week, your routine? What does that look like for you? What does ministry on the ground look like for you in Poltava?
Well, I would say that you, in this kind of situation, you deal with the questions that you would prefer not to deal with. Like a maturity upgrade, you know, that you really understand, like, that you just go for it, you just flow, especially when you have people who rely on you or who look up to you. And you kind of understand that this is where the maturity starts, probably. And my life looks like, the first thing I want to say that I'm extremely blessed. Really, this was amazing. But in the middle of the war, God gave me an amazing time of peace. And I know that it will continue for some time. But this is like kind of what God does in our personal lives. Like, I mean, the journey that we have with God, because we are so blessed that the journey that we're having with God as Christians are still continuing even when the war starts. So it doesn't matter what's going on outside. We still have this journey inside, and God is faithful. And we've seen that. Like,
I would say this is the only thing left.
But this is the only stable thing. My routine now looks like I still work. Like, I'm an interpreter, translator, and thanks God I have a job to do because it's like online, so I can keep working. And now I'm working with the volunteers and the delegations from United States who support us, and they come and teach our people to provide psychological help. And we teach other people. We have already taught more than 500 people of how to provide the first psychological aid in the just normal family society. There are going to be rehab centers built, and I'm going to be involved in these projects. By the way, thanks to Alina, because once she couldn't do something, she said, oh, there's a girl, she can do this. And so we kind of started working. Now I have a lot of people in church, and you kind of really fast need to learn how to be not a youth pastor, but actually lead the people, lead the church. And probably God knew what he was doing when he gave me kids first, like 5 years ago, because we're all kids and all things work with us now. And I work, I volunteer, so I try to be involved in city projects that we still have. I am a part of a Steiger team, and we do evangelistic projects and try to get connected to the teenagers, because we have a bunch of youth, like a lot of youth that came to Poltava is like in the horseshoe of other cities which were bombed. Now the missiles also, like the drones got to us, but we had so many people from other cities. So we have now a platform what to do, and it's going to be a tough year, but it's also going to be blessed. So my kind of routine looks like that I work. Now I have things that I need to deal with church more. I also still have my youth. It's now like from 5 to 8 people. It's like there's no chaos, and it's very unsettling. Like, what's going on? Like, you got used to chaos because like 25 teenagers around you. But now it's like 5, 8. Like, what's going on? Is it the peace or something? So... And I also have a little Bible school with the help of the Samaritan Purse that they send us presents and books. So we have like Bible school for kids. They are like 5 children there from refugees. So there's so many things to do. The first 3 months, I would say, I remember that I like barely slept like 3 or 2 hours. And then it took me like maybe 3 months to recover from it. And God was so graceful. And that was the moment when God really taught me that he still loves me because of what I, like who I am, not what I do. Yep. And this was the time I've learned really fast how to let go things, and that you don't have to control everything. And God is still on it. He has a big world church worldwide. But at the same time, with a God's speed, God is teaching how to be really, like, probably more responsible and how to do things. And the thought that I want to finish it with, that what helped me, that it actually woke me up in many aspects. I could never tell that I would be, like, a sleeping Christian. But, like, the things that we see now in Ukraine, in the real world, like, that we... A response to people's needs immediately, people matter first, and you kind of live from day to day, so you rely on God every day. You don't have time to have this Bible course for 10 years with a person to get him or her baptized. You just do it now because you don't know what's going to happen in 1 month. And that occurred to me that actually this is how we're supposed to live.
Wow, yeah.
Because the spiritual battle is always on. Yep. The spiritual war has always been here since the Christ has left the earth and is coming back. Yep. So it's kind of like, I've just understood that what I'm experiencing now in physical world is the same thing that I should be totally used to in the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And now I just need to keep my body fit to it, like, and my schedule and emotions. Yeah. And like the spirit is always has to be in that rhythm.
Yeah.
And now we just have experienced that in real life. Mm. So that's probably how our life look like right now.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? One day you're in Ukraine and tomorrow you're in Switzerland. So you never know.
You never know. Well, speaking of you don't know, kind of in terms of what's next, winter is coming. We're in Switzerland and it's already a little cold tonight and we're sitting outside for certain various reasons, but winter is coming. It's getting colder in Ukraine.
Yeah, it is.
The situation doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. So as you think about the future, as you think about the winter months, as you think about the needs of people, and Alina, you're talking about, you know, and where you guys are at and kind of being on the western side of the country and closer to the border, receiving supplies and then get those supplies into Ukraine to others. What preparations are you guys making? Are you thinking of? Are you processing? What are some of the preparations that you're making right now?
Yeah, I think I might start as I'm living in that part of Ukraine that has much more block out, like right now, as after the 10th of October, then there were hundreds of missiles like put out to our country.
And as you mentioned before, Poltava had always kind of been
like a shelter.
A shelter hadn't been touched, but until just a few days ago now. And so the infrastructure is not as stable as it was before because it was targeted.
True.
And so now Poltava is experiencing those blackouts.
Yeah, that's because of the drones that are like flying all over the country, and they are flying really, really low, and the radars, it's more difficult to acknowledge them. So that's why it's more dangerous. And they sound just like motorbikes. So life became a little more stressful because you never know, like it's a car or like it's a drone and you don't know what's happening. And the thing that we are going, when we are preparing now and what we see, well, this is like harsh, like to say prepare. Like we are a small church, but we are trying to be connected with everyone in our city. Of course, we are buying generators, and this is the first, like people already started to do that before. So I think the generator supply will be the first one that we will like really, really need. Mm-hmm. Like if there is a question like, how can I help Ukraine? Okay, like one generator, like it's really a good help. Water supplies for sure, because we don't know, because water supplies are really connected to the electricity. And also we're starting to buy in these, like, I don't know how to say them correctly, like gas bulbs or something so that you can cook.
Okay.
Even like you're not connected, just fill it with gas and you can cook it on it. Yeah, so these things, like lighters, power banks, candles, so probably everything, because we are, for example, our capital, the city, Kyiv, has like enormous blackouts. And my hometown, we have a schedule and we have different timetable of what city, what part of the city works and whatnot, just to keep the energy. And I think that, and I know that there are cities right now where people don't have the warmth already for half a year, so it still doesn't work, and people are still there, and now soldiers live in there because they have to live somewhere. They don't just sleep on the ground, so they just live there. I would say that these heating supplies, besides of the military ones, of course, will be so important for citizens, because I will not say that we're like it's enough food. I don't know, but I know that we are really blessed as Ukraine by the humanitarian aid of a lot of countries, but this is what we really have. I think the solid push will be on all these things that can make you warm in winter and can provide electricity.
Yep.
So this is the main goal and the main help that can be provided. And also what I know from my friends, these are vehicles because a lot of vehicles has been shot or destroyed because people are bringing humanitarian aid to the front line. And so everyone I knew gave their buses or big cars just to serve, and they can be already like destroyed or something. So like vans, like vehicles and energy supplies, this is like the main thing that will be needed in Ukraine, like in winter.
I would just add what we else do, additionally to what Vala said, because we do the same things. Just 3 months things I thought about, like the first one is clothing, because refugees mostly come with nothing. Yeah. So, and winter is coming. So, which is, and even for soldiers, like socks or in underwear, which is thermal, is needed, and coats and whatever, like winter supply for wearing. And then the second thing is just woods, because most of the houses, they will not be heated by any other way of heating system work, in or heaters in case they have good electricity possibility, but most of them are not. But just so these are three basic extra things we do. And we are expecting, like, we were, one more I will add later, but just we were talking with the pastor the other day, and he says, like, we are expecting the next wave of refugees coming with the cold season.
Okay.
Because most those who are stayed in East for the summer, like, for different reasons, they will not just be able, like, it's impossible
they won't
for
be
them
able to,
yes,
to stay there through the winter.
So the winter is coming and we are expecting more people to come. So the basic work again will be done.
Okay.
It's like preparing old houses, redo them, and just whatever we've done at the beginning. Yeah. And one more thing, which is kind of an idea pastor's wife had, and we started to deal with it, it's to make a little storage in case of famine. Because we do understand, like, sometimes it's impossible to sow, which will be impossible to take the crop later in a year.
Yep.
So
yep.
her idea was to create this little storage in case we will feed at least with a little part of something and then survive as a nation. So we never know to expect what to expect, but just we always think about the perspectives, what might happen, like maybe the next wave of refugees will come, maybe the famine will come, or maybe the shortage of everything, like about heating, about, so that's why we buy woods and just buying whatever. Like, it's, as I said before, like, you never know what happens next.
Yep.
So we do need prayers, and we do pray every single day. Lord, me and my husband, this is our prayer. Lord, prepare us for the next day, for tomorrow. We never know what will happen, but just we do want to not have panic, to have enough faith and enough clear mind of how we can minister. And also we pray that God will lead us in the place He sees us to minister to. Because we never know, like, where we will be and what will happen next.
Yep.
But we do trust our Lord, who has His idea of how to love people through His church.
Yep.
So this is basically.
Yeah, and that actually leads me to my next question. How have you seen the church be the church during this time?
This is my favorite question. Come on, I'm ready. Oh, I will start with the beginning, because I grew up in one church, then we started a new church. And so all my life till the age of 32, I used to be in Poltava, having this warm family of God. And then we moved to Irpin. We started the life over, like, from the very beginning. And here we were there only for 4 months as the war started. So we kind of, like, we were in the church there already. We found a good church. I would say great church, but just we were not in the ministries yet, because we were settling, like, kids, kindergarten. We were looking for apartment, for jobs. So as soon as we were done, we are gone to nowhere. And we came to kind of unknown church. I've known it before, but just not as close. So here we are, guests, being guests there. So for me, I found myself being kind of lost out of family of God, which is, like, of course, those people whom you know. But here I am at the point where my family was embraced and hugged with an international God's family. So this is my favorite part. Like, the church is not local anymore. In Ukraine, the churches are so united now. They are ministering together, which was not before like that.
Wow.
Like, each church had kind of like boundaries. Boundaries. No, churches were open, but just they did their work.
Yep.
And here they do the common work together. So in our case, we found out being helped by just a gracious plan of Lord from the people of the whole world through 3WLN. Because when first Daniel came to Tachiv, and then Moni, Lasko, Patrick later, and Andras, they started to come. And I couldn't explain it. How could it be? Like, it's melting my heart, because this is how God cares for His people. He says, like, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you know these people. I know you where you are, and I will take care of you. It doesn't matter whom I will use, even from the other part of the world.
Yep.
So, yeah, and I was also mentioned before the financial also side of the situation. We didn't have jobs. But since the very first day, people whom I've met only once in my life, or somehow like believers I was helping to with medical teams or camps or whatever, Americans mostly, but just different parts of the world, they started to react. Mm. Like, what needs do you have? What can we help with? So we were having nothing, sending so much to the needs, to the East mostly, yeah. But even still here. Okay. It's like, you never understand this, wow. But what I realized, it's like Jesus. He had nothing personal, yeah. But he yeah. always gave, and it was just multiplying there.
Yeah.
So this is what basically wow. was there. So we are really grateful to the Lord for our international family, which wow. hugged us, embraced us with every prayer, with every yeah. support, with every supply, and just every financial help they provided. And especially to those who reacted right after, like mm. Daniel, he came maybe, it was April, I guess. So it was like the time when the most needs started to appear, because mm. at first churches had some yep. stuff to serve and to minister to the refugees. But then with time, of course, like lots of the church I'm staying now, we are staying as a family. I would say 3/4 are refugees, 1/4.
Wow.
Maybe like, yeah,
I'm there.
This would be the exact way to describe the situation. Mm-hmm. So much more refugees than the locals. So God used international family to feed his local family, mm. to help his and warm his local family. So we are extremely blessed
wow.
by you guys and whoever joins your vision and ministry yeah. of helping and yeah. supporting Ukraine. So we do need that and we do feel that. Yeah. And we are very grateful and blessed.
That's great. That's great. Valentina, I'm going to ask you kind of the same question, but a little bit mm-hmm. differently. Okay. This podcast is called A World of Good. Mm-hmm. The World of Good podcast. And so one of the last questions we always ask is, what good is God doing in your world? Mm-hmm. And so, again, we're talking about chaos, destruction, war, conflict, but at the same time experiencing God's goodness and blessing. You've shared that. But what, maybe just share a story or something personally. What good is God doing, or what good have you seen this? And it could be in the, you know, how has the church been the church to you, or something else?
There was a bunch of miracles. I will answer. Yeah.
Just pick one. Just pick one.
Are you ready for a 10-hour podcast? Here we go. This is an amazing thing that the church has been praying for revival for such a long time. Mm. And remember when Jesus came, all people, they were just in the middle of the Roman oppressors. So it was really a tense situation there.
Yeah.
So it kind of was a war. Like
lots of conflict.
Yeah, they were captured yep. and people were waiting for God to release them in the physical way. But when Jesus came and the contrast of what was happening, he brought a completely different thing. So this is what I see is happening in our world now. That I will provide a very, I shared this example earlier, but I cannot not mention it because I remember when our church already was left with maybe 10, 15 people and there were only, and they were 90% of refugees in our church, and they come to the service time. And I realized that the presence of the Holy Spirit is so strong and that our church has never, like not never, but has not been that alive in such a long time mm. because this is how it's supposed to be. Mm. 10% of believers and 90% of unbelievers. And that's what all the churches are experiencing now mm. all over the Ukraine. And this is like, we could finally catch a glimpse of what it's like to be that first disciple church mm-hmm. that appeared.
Yeah.
Because that would happen. Yeah. They were like 3 disciples in one little town and 99 people. These 99 sheep. Yeah, this is true. And the good for the world, what I experienced, that I was, it was such an amazing thing the first month, even before I realized all the seriousness and what was happening, I already got so many messages and so many, like saying just words of support or invitations to the homes. Like, come here, we will, our doors are open. Even people I didn't know, but they were subscribing to me on Instagram or somehow they've been connected to me on some podcast or like conference or some group like we shared on Zoom, mm-hmm. like that we're all together. Yep. I still have some people who text me like asking how things are. I didn't even know the people. I don't know them. And this is the power of how, that's what Alina said. This is the power, like, I don't know you, but I will care for you.
Mm.
This is something from heaven. This is not from earth. Mm. This is how God, because our God is so relational.
Yeah.
Like, this is how it was supposed to be. And we've experienced, for me, it will be cheesy to say right now because I'm here, but for me, one of the, in my personal world, trip here, trip here was like such a good thing for me because it was like someone took me from my apartment and brought me here. And I shared with some people here, I even didn't know how I ended up here. You know, I didn't have this tan background of service with your team that mm-hmm. just in thankfulness, welcome to Switzerland, we'll just give you anything you want. No, so I didn't do anything. It was just simple blessing. Mm. And it was, this is what I experienced physically, that I didn't earn it and I don't deserve it. So for me, meeting a lot of people like you, this is such a good thing now because I'm 28 and I still have things to learn. And standing here on the conference, what I thought about yesterday, I thought, oh my gosh, I want to one day I want to do the same. I want to buy tickets for someone and say, okay, I'll just take care of it. Or it's okay. We'll take care about everything. Do you want anything? Yeah, don't worry. So that's what I want to do. Mm. So this is the best example of leadership for the future generation. This was already an example for me. You didn't teach me how to do that. You just showed it to me. Yeah. And this is something good that I would like to spread further. Mm. And this is already like a gift. Mm.
That's great.
I will add just a little part.
Yeah.
I am going on and going on asking the same question to Daniel, to Christy, to Audrey. Why do you care so much? And actually, I know the answer because God cares so much.
Yep.
And I will wrap up with the words, we do feel we are not alone.
Yeah.
So this is not just the phrase I've heard the first 3WLN, which was in 2015. So I've been here for 4 times.
Yep.
And this is my first time living through this phrase and feeling it.
And I've heard you share too, you know, the phrase, you're not alone and we're praying for you. These are words spoken.
It's not a cliche.
And it's not a cliche for you guys that you feel the prayers.
Physically feel.
Yeah.
I would never think about that because I grew up in half of a Christian family.
Yeah.
But just a half, my mom is a believer. So I grew up with this phrase. I've heard it tons of times.
Yep.
And I know people were serious.
And have said it.
Yeah, and I said to someone.
Yeah.
And I know people were serious about that, but I never felt it as I felt during the war physically. Mm-hmm. So which is whenever you guys pray, just know that Ukrainians do feel those prayers.
Mm.
And we have lots of stories. It's another 10 hours podcast of miracles happens because of the prayers.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. And, you know, again, I've communicated from a distance and over messaging and all of that. But, and I know it's not, I know you don't always feel this way, but from my perspective, especially being around you this week, I see this inner strength that both of you carry. And I can't imagine what it is that you guys are going through, but for you to be able to walk through this week and to have this inner strength, I know you would say it comes from the Lord and what He's been able to do in you and through you. And I know and I pray that you'll continue to be filled up so you can continue on to have that inner strength for whatever it is that you're facing when you go back. And I know that just as much as we say that we're praying for you, and we are, if it was within our power to flip a switch and have this end tomorrow, I think we would all do that and pray that that will happen soon. But I just want you guys to recognize we see that inner strength in you, and I know that that's sustained you and that continues to carry you through all of this with your families, with your church and your ministries. Know that you have a whole team behind you. You have a whole region behind you. You have the global church behind you praying for you and your families and your ministry. So we love you guys, and we are here with you. Maybe not physically, but at least spiritually.
We feel it physically then.
That's great. That's great.
I will add, it's not as easy as we are here smiling and telling these things.
I know
but
that.
We had just 2 options, whether to cry all the podcast long or just to smile. So this is a superpower of Ukrainians. Yeah. We can smile when we are crying inside. So just we do need those prayers, and we are very grateful for whatever you guys are doing and we're doing and will be doing. Just church is the only way to survive during the mess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is what we just to add about this inner feeling, as Alan said, we would cry. We have a deal like, yeah, you cry, I joke.
I've seen that.
If things get serious, yeah, this is how we work.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you need to do to get through it.
But this is like true. A lot of European people and Americans, I had already heard this thought that a lot of people didn't take it serious because Ukrainians now have millions and dozens of memes and jokes everywhere. But this is the very powerful thing. That's what I answered when I was asked about it. I said, we will have like a really, really harsh time of weeping and lamenting and crying afterwards. Mm. Now we need to be strong. We can't do this now.
Yeah.
I was asked like, why your son on Eurovision was so happy? Seriously.
Yeah.
One girl asked me, why didn't you take some slow and touching? And I say, that's because that's our weapon. That's because I've heard a very good phrase one girl said. She said, this is about our enemy. They said, they curse when they are in pain. Ukrainians sing when they are in pain.
Wow.
And joke.
Yeah. Seriously. This is what helps us to get through because we will have a lot of time to cry over it. Now we just need to be strong for our families, for our children. Of course, we do that. We cry and but this is really hard to process all these things if you will take it super, super seriously. Sometimes you just need really to trust God in this like childish manner. And this is what helps us to get through. This is true. Yeah, that's why we're sometimes so funny. And we are so funny anyway. But yeah, but this is really what helps us to get through. So it's not like we're okay and everything is perfect.
Yep.
It's really a good mechanism to defend our hearts from this. And the scripture tells us the same way. The best weapon against what devil prepares for his people is joy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the midst of the most harsh times, what did Jewish people do? They sang.
Mm-hmm.
They sang and they worshiped God in the middle of nowhere without any understanding. Sometimes God just told, like, now worship. And so that's what we're trying to do. So God says, like, now joke. That's what we do. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to share. And as I mentioned, we are going to continue to stand with you and pray for you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.